Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam Special Hajj Focus. And this year for our Hajj Safarnama, we're discussing the Russian Hajj Empire and the pilgrimage to Mecca. We're joined on the line now by Professor Aileen Kane, who is the author of this book published by Cornell University Press in December 2015. Good morning and welcome to Radio Islam, Professor Kane.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's afternoon in South Africa, late afternoon, but we're so happy to have you for the first time on South African airwaves, I'm assuming?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Let's look at the book. For those of our listeners who know nothing about your book, Russian Hajj Empire and the Pilgrimage to Mecca, what would you say it's about? Because it's certainly not about Russia and it's not about the Hajj. It's about an empire. How would you describe it?
I would describe it, I would say in many ways it is about Russia. The big question I would say that is at the center of it is, Russia expands as an empire, and one of the things that happens is that it, colonizes Muslim majority lands and not only, absorbs populations but also inherits Islamic traditions with these populations, and then it has to figure out how to manage this and what to do with these populations. And the Hajj is a particular tradition, of course, because it's obligatory. It's not something that there are some discussions about, wanting to forbid this tradition because it, of course, involves people moving out of the empire to neighboring lands. And this is not something you can do. You can't simply forbid the Hajj.
Mm. When you Google Russian Hajj, yours is the first book that comes up. There's nothing much that people know about the Russian Hajj. The first question that comes to mind now is, what made you write a book on the Russian Hajj?
Well, I actually started a book on Orthodox Christian pilgrimage to Jerusalem, which made a lot more sense because made sense in terms of what historians have already written about Russia. So most people, when they think of Russia, will think first of Orthodox Christianity because this was the official faith of the Russian Empire. It's still today the Putin government has a close relationship with the Russian Orthodox Church, and the majority of the population in Russia is Orthodox Christian. So I went into the archives looking for information on Orthodox pilgrimage and started to find all of the stuff on the Hajj, and actually found that it was a bigger phenomenon, and it hadn't, as you say, ever been written about.
Hmm. And was it part of a thesis, or was it something that just was really you found interesting, something that you wrote for fun?
So it started out as my dissertation. I was at Princeton University doing my dissertation in the late 90s. So a small part of the dissertation ended up being about the Hajj, and then I went back to the archives, and it was a little bit difficult to uncover. As I say, there was lots in the archives, but it wasn't cataloged very clearly. So it's not like I just walked into the archives and they said, oh, well, here's everything we have on the Hajj, because the Tsarist government was very uneasy about this tradition and about the fact that it had, tens of thousands of its subjects making the pilgrimage by the late 19th century. And so this kind of was inscribed in the archives. It was fun in a way. It was sort of a detective work to try to uncover where the documents were and to piece them all together and then piece the story together. I mean, one of the things I was trying to do in the book is to also show that Russia has been connected to the Middle East. This is one of the ways in which it was closely connected to the Middle East, but we don't often, at least in the United States, the way Russia is studied, it's a history that's seen as separate from the Middle East, and this actually is not true.
Hmm. I'm moving into the introduction of your book, and you mentioned that by the early 1900s, like you mentioned earlier, Russia was an Orthodox Christian state, and they seemed a real unlikely supporter to something like the Hajj, because at that time the Orthodox Tsars claimed divine right to rule. So
yes.
If you were to explain to someone, what made these Orthodox Tsars actually get involved in the Hajj, if you could explain that for a little bit.
So, and in fact, it was the czar by, you know, there were lots of different officials. We have the czar at the very top of the government, and then you have local officials on the ground in this huge empire who are dealing with encountering Muslim subjects who are making the Hajj. So it kind of was a situation where the pressure came from below, in St. Petersburg, in the foreign ministry, in the interior ministry. They started hearing about from local officials, there's this phenomenon going on, there are these people moving around, they're doing this regular annual pilgrimage, and in fact it was by the early 20th century, the Tsar in fact says, so it's not like he was oblivious to it. It's not like this was something only going on at the lower level. He says, we need to, in this empire, organize the Hajj. We need to have it streamlined, and the government needs to take this on. But he also was very, as you said, it's important to remember that the Tsar was Orthodox Christian. The Tsar had to be Orthodox Christian. He relied on the Orthodox Church as a support, an institution that supported the dynasty. So there was a certain amount of unease and also secrecy about the fact that the government was supporting and in the end, as I argue in the book, sponsoring the Hajj, because this was not really what an Orthodox czar and an Orthodox empire was supposed to be doing. But I should say that all of the European empires are doing this by the early 20th century because, and this again comes from the introduction of the book, the European empires have colonized most of what we call the Muslim world, and most Hajj pilgrims who show up in Mecca by the early 20th century are colonial subjects.
Mm. Yeah, so let's look at the roots now, this mass exodus. In the book, you talk about by the time it was the 1880s, tens of thousands of Muslims were making the pilgrimage through Russian lands and the Black Sea ports, and they abandoned their old routes through Ottoman, Persian, and Indian lands. So what was the infrastructure provided by the Russians at that time?
So, and I should say they didn't start out thinking that they were building an infrastructure. This sort of happened spontaneously. So, for example, Russia in the late 19th century, between the 1860s and the 1880s, colonizes Central Asia, places we know today as Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, and Tajikistan. And they, one of the first things they do is build a railroad into the region because they want to be able to send in troops in case there are uprisings they want to put down, and also they want to export resources, mainly cotton. So the railroad is built for economic, sort of classically colonial reasons, but Muslims in the region start taking these railroads to get to Mecca. They start to take, and this also means that rather than go through, take land routes, go on foot or on horseback through, you know, some continue to do this, but increasingly they move away from these routes through India, through Persia, and they start taking railroads. So their routes, this was very interesting to me, they start, you know, they're moving through central regions of Russia, taking railroads through what we know today as Russia and Ukraine, and encountering completely different people. So, you know, one of the things I would emphasize, my book is about the 19th and early 20th century, and, you know, the Hajj today, as most people know it, it is, you know, you go, you leave from where you live, you take an airplane in many, if not most cases, you fly to the airport in Jeddah. It's a very much a point A to point B journey, and it was very different in the 19th and 20th centuries. People would travel, their routes were shifting as railroads and steamships are introduced, but also they would stop at many places along the way.
Yeah. You also talk about the fact that they didn't even know what went on at Hajj. You talk about they had a fear of pan-Islamism, but at the same time, they really just didn't know what went on there when people went for the Hajj.
Yes. So they, you know, again, you have, you know, your average Russian official on the ground, say, in, you know, Kharkov, somewhere in, you know, what we know today as Ukraine, they start seeing these people coming through the train stations, and they look different. You know, this was also interesting to me. For many people, this is the only time they would ever travel long distance in their lives. So these are not, you know, these were not times also when long distance travel was something like today. Many people do that regularly. This was a big deal. So you're sitting in Ukraine, you start to see these Muslims from Central Asia who are dressed differently, who don't speak Russian, don't speak Ukrainian, they're coming through the region. So there was a lot of disorientation, a lot of misunderstanding, a sense, you know, one thing they thought was, well, they must be going to pray at Muhammad's tomb, and this was very much sort of putting a Christian spin on the pilgrimage. And it's sort of equating it with, you know, making a pilgrimage to go pray at Jesus's tomb. So there was misinformation about it, and then also fear, fueled in part by the fact that Muslims, non-Muslims are not allowed to go to Mecca. So this sort of fueled these conspiracy theories about what must be going on in these places, and also the fact that, empires there are many challenges to empires by the late 19th, early 20th century, nationalism being one, pan-Islamism being another, and so there's this assumption that if you have a lot of Muslims getting together in a secret place, they must be plotting something political, which actually never turned out to be true. But there was this fear. And so the move to get involved and start sponsoring the Hajj was to some extent fueled by fear, but one of the things I argue in the book is that they also start to see this movement of people as an excuse for Russia to lay claim to other parts of the world. The Ottoman Empire at this time is on the decline. All of the European empires are sort of watching and competing to have a sort of ground-level presence in Ottoman lands, so that, you know, the assumption is this empire is eventually going to collapse, and they all have an interest in laying claim to parts of Ottoman lands. Mm. So this is a sort of point of entry. They actually have many Russian officials start to see strategic and also economic benefit in getting involved in the Hajj. Mm-hmm.